Pharmacy Nation, I'm Pharmacy Joe. Thank you for listening to the Elective Rotation, a critical care pharmacy podcast. This is episode 183. In this episode, I'll discuss an article about piperacillin tazobactam pharmacokinetics in critically ill patients, answer the drug information question, how quickly must dantrolene be accessible to treat a case of malignant hyperthermia, and share a resource about false positive urine drug screens. I have all the evidence supporting today's show linked up in the show notes at pharmacyjoe.com/episode183. If you know someone who would find this podcast helpful, please share it with them. The article for this episode recently appeared in a weekly literature digest for members of my Critical Care Pharmacy Academy. Every week, I send Academy members a summary of the most important critical care pharmacy articles, including my analysis of where the article fits in practice. You can find out more at pharmacyjoe.com/academy. And the title of this article is Repeated Piperacillin Tazobactam Plasma Concentration Measurements in Severely Obese versus Non-Obese Critically Ill Septic Patients and the Risk of Under- and Overdosing. The lead author is Boris Jung, and this was published in Critical Care Medicine, May 2017. There's a dearth of evidence regarding the use of piperacillin tazobactam continuous IV infusion in critically ill obese patients. The authors of this study sought to compare the pharmacokinetics of piperacillin in severely obese and non-obese patients with severe sepsis or septic shock. Their hypothesis was that patients would experience both under- and overdosing. The study was a prospective comparative study performed in a single 16-bed mixed med-surg ICU. Patients with a BMI greater than 35 were counted as obese, and those with a BMI less than 30 were considered non-obese. A consecutive cohort of patients treated with 16 grams piperacillin tazobactam over 24 hours as a continuous infusion was evaluated. Piperacillin plasma concentration was measured every 12 hours over a 7-day period. Free piperacillin plasma concentration and the fraction of time above 64 milligrams per liter, which is 4 times the upper end of the sensitive MIC for Pseudomonas, were compared between the two groups. The authors then performed 5,000 Monte Carlo simulations for various dosing regimens and MICs and calculated the probability to spend 100% of the time over 64 milligrams per liter. 11 obese and 12 non-obese patients were studied, with a total of 294 blood samples obtained. There was no difference in piperacillin plasma concentration over time between groups. The fractional time over 64 milligrams per liter was 64% and 93% in obese and non-obese patients, respectively. 5 non-obese and 2 obese patients experienced potentially toxic piperacillin plasma concentrations. When a concentration of 64 milligrams per liter was targeted, Monte Carlo simulation showed that 12 grams over 24 hours was inadequate in both obese and non-obese patients, and 16 grams over 24 hours was adequate only in non-obese patients. The authors concluded using a conventional dosing of 16 grams over 24-hour continuous infusion, obese patients were more likely than non-obese patients to experience piperacillin underdosing when facing high MIC pathogens. The present study suggests that piperacillin drug monitoring might be necessary for the sickest patients who are at the highest risk of unpredictable plasma concentration, exposing them to overdose, toxicity, underdosing, and treatment failure. In the pharmacokinetic analysis, the clearance of piperacillin nearly doubled in obese patients. Plasma levels were extremely variable despite the use of a continuous infusion. Most patients did achieve at least 50% of the time above an MIC of 16 for Pseudomonas. 5 non-obese and 2 obese patients experienced very high piperacillin levels that have been associated with toxicity that is over 150 milligrams per liter. The study makes a good case for the use of therapeutic drug monitoring for piperacillin in critically ill patients. Unfortunately, the ability to check piperacillin levels for therapeutic drug monitoring is not commonplace. I have a poll out on Twitter right now where I can be found at Pharmacy Joe, And of the 47 people that have voted, looks like only about 3 of them have the ability to get piperacillin plasma levels in practice for their patients. The drug information question for this episode is, how quickly must dantrolene be accessible to treat a case of malignant hyperthermia? And the answer is, the entire dose of dantrolene should be able to be administered within 10 minutes of the decision to treat. The Malignant Hyperthermia Association of the United States, or MHAUS, now recommends that dantrolene must be available for all anesthetizing locations within 10 minutes of the decision to treat for MH. Dantrolene must be available for all anesthetizing locations where MH trigger agents are used. This time frame is a slight change from the previous recommendation of 5 minutes. This change was based on a consensus discussion taking into account that triggering agents for MH may be administered far away from the operating room where dantrolene is typically stored. I discussed the diagnosis and treatment of malignant hyperthermia back in episode 40. And the resource for this episode comes from uspharmacist.com. An article hosted there provides a listing of medications that can cause false positive urine drug screens. Some common examples are sertraline causing a false positive for benzodiazepines, and ibuprofen or naproxen causing a false positive for barbiturates and THC. You can get a link to this article at the bottom of the show notes at pharmacyjoe.com/episode183. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you in the next episode of the Elective Rotation.